Hey folks, Preet here. This is a recording of my weekly note, Dumb and Dumber. As always, please send your thoughts and questions to letters@cafe.com. Dear listener, we are now a year and a fortnight past the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. More than 700 people have been charged with various crimes along a spectrum of seriousness, ranging from trespass to seditious conspiracy. Some will plead, some will go to trial, some will go to prison, some will go free. A range of defenses will be brought to bear with different degrees of plausibility and absurdity. I want to focus on one defense I recently heard, which upon a moment's reflection is obviously absurd, and especially so when one takes human nature and history into account. The defense was offered up earnestly by one Tucker Carlson last week. Quote,
on January 7th of last year, the day after, protesters called Nancy Pelosi's office line in the Capitol looking for items they may have left inside the building. Law enforcement took down their numbers and later arrested them. Is that the behavior of people who believe they were trying to overthrow the U.S. government? Obviously, it's not. These are Americans who came to their capital city with their friends to complain loudly about what politicians were doing.
Obviously, it's not. Foolishly calling the Capitol lost and found and self-identifying may make them hapless. It may make them ignorant. It may make them arrogant or entitled, or it may make them stupid, but it doesn't make them innocent. There is a long and storied tradition of criminal actors doing dumb things that lead to their arrest and conviction, just as there is a long and largely losing tradition of defenders who miss the mark by arguing that the dumb things are a sign of innocence. Even in the most serious cases of criminal conduct, including terrorism, folly is not innocence. As I posted on Twitter in response to the clip of Carlson, quote, Tucker forgot about the time the first bombers of the World Trade Center in 1993 tried to get back a $400 deposit left on the Ryder rental van used in the attack. Terrorists are sometimes utter morons, end quote. That truck bomb killed 6 people and injured 1,000 more, but the intention was to kill tens of thousands of innocents by causing the North Tower to crash into the South Tower. In the wake of such destruction and death, and in the midst of a worldwide manhunt, one of the terrorists, Mohamed Salameh, tried to get the deposit back on the truck, whereupon he was promptly arrested by the FBI. Later, he was sentenced to 240 years in prison. The annals of true crime are littered with examples of foolhardy acts that inculpate rather than exonerate. In virtually every case of a rich or powerful person cheating or abusing someone, the first defense is often, why would I do something so stupid? That's a great question, but it's a poor defense. Why would a billionaire cheat to make a little more cash? Great question, but it happens all the time. Why would a politician in the public eye commit sexual assault? Another great question, but that happens too. The stupidity of the action is not an alibi or a defense to the action. Carlson's commentary inspired some people to recall their own similar stories. One criminal defense attorney offered this anecdote, quote, this made me recall a case I handled years ago. A guy tried to rob a liquor store and tried to take booze too. The clerk demanded ID to prove age and he showed it. He even left it on the counter, end quote. Someone else posted this gem. I was hit by a car while trying to make a shoplifting apprehension. The guy called the mall later, complaining that something broke his windshield. It was my head. They told him to come down and file a claim, and when he did, the police arrested him. These are not sharp people. And there was this one. Reminds me of a story in Louisville local news from when I was a kid. A guy robbed a bank and wrote the ransom note on the back of one of his mom's checks. Okay, I'll stop now. You get the point. Even if people like Tucker Carlson willfully refuse to. But if you have such a story, I'd love to hear it. Send them to letters@cafe.com. My best, Preet. Folks, we have some new content from Cafe. A series of recently published reports in the New York Times reveal that the military significantly undercounts civilian deaths in U.S. airstrikes abroad. To help us understand the rules, laws, and policies relevant to lethal drone strikes, Cafe's Tamara Sepper spoke with Priyanka Motaparti of Columbia Human Rights Institute for the latest edition of Office Hours. You can find the interview at cafe.com/office-hours, and the link is in the show notes.